started for this evening. Glad to have Rod Minor here with us tonight. He has prepared a little handout to follow along with. If you don't have one of these, raise your hand, and maybe Stephen and Adam can bring you a copy of it and get those distributed. Look like we need some toward the center right down here. Okay, thank you, young men. Let's pause for a word of prayer before we turn it over to Rod. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that we can come together and study again from your word. Just pray you'll be with Rod as he shares what he studied with us, giving us this opportunity to know more about the hospitality in our homes and the many things that taught in your word that have been encouragement to us here and helping us to look where we can apply this more. Praying for those that are not able to be with us tonight, especially those that are sick or suffering in many ways, praying that they can regain their health and be back with us. Also those that are traveling and away from home, praying that they can have safe travels as they come and go. Just pray you'll be with those teaching the young people tonight, helping them to challenge these young minds to think more about you, looking to you for the comfort that can only come from there. Just pray that you continue to be with us. Watch over and guide and direct us as we go through this worship tonight. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to be with you this evening. Hope that you brought your Bible. We'll be looking at some verses kind of as we go along here in our study on hospitality in our homes. Thoroughly enjoyed preparing for this lesson. Anxious to share it with you. I've reminisced a lot as I've gone through this because I started college in 1976 and actually began the classes in 77. Took a preparation to deliver sermons that semester, and the first sermon I ever outlined and made outline for and prepared for was on hospitality. Got that sermon out, and it's great to go back over it and look at it. That's not what I'll be sharing with you this evening, but it was a great time of reminiscing and thinking about what effect that's had on my life and the effect it's had as far as other people are concerned, trying to encourage them to think about hospitality. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. We'll be going down here to 13, but we'll start back at verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Billy said this has kind of been the theme of your Wednesday night services lately, this summer in this series. In Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kind, kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Verse 11, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And then verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. As you look at this context, you look at all the things, and it doesn't get much more practical than Romans chapter 12. He says, this is what I expect of you. This is what I want in your Christian life. This is what I want you to focus on. These are the priorities that I want you to have at this time as far as it's concerned. But also notice here, he says, I want you to have hospitality. Hospitality. I'm concerned, and the reason I wrote that first sermon years ago is because it concerns me a great deal. It continues to concern me that we don't have hospitality like they had in the first century and during that period of time and the things he's focused on here. But that, as we study about that, heighten our awareness of it, the importance of it, it's a huge, important thing as far as our Christian walk is concerned. You want to turn your Bible also over to Luke chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. Luke 14, 12 through 15. Got some things I want to share with you before we get into the questions as far as your notes are concerned. But Luke 14, beginning of verse 12, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Verse 14. And you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay. For you shall be repaid in the resurrection of the just. Verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is the man is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So here's Jesus saying, this is what I want hospitality to be like. This is the important thing as far as hospitality. But notice in the first part, it says, when you give a dinner, when you get together people and things of that nature, do not ask your friends, brothers, relatives, the rich, the neighbors, and those to, because they'll invite you back and they'll repay you. Now, it doesn't say it's wrong to do that as far as those people are concerned, but he says, this is not the point of hospitality as far as a Christian is concerned. He said, when you have a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And you know, think about these people and these caliber of people as far as that's concerned. So when we think about our hospitality today, we want to think about what kind of hospitality we're showing. And not only that, who are we showing our hospitality toward? Are we really doing what Jesus wanted us to do? Hospitality is the act of receiving and entertaining guests, either friends or strangers, and generously and kindly helping them to have the things they need as far as their lives concerned. The hospitality to the degree that is in the Bible is very uncommon. You don't see this very much. That's the reason we need to study things like we're studying tonight and think about hospitality. This is a fantastic study, and the students should think about long and hard and pray about this particular subject as far as our lives are concerned. When Jesus sent out the 70 on the limited commission, he told them to rely on the hospitality of the people that they're going out there and going to be studying with and teaching and things of that nature. And because the teacher was worthy of the hospitality that they were to have as far as that's concerned in Luke chapter 10. We can learn much about our Christian responsibilities by studying hospitality. James 2 verse 26 says, without faith, works is dead. We look at Hebrews 13:2. I'm going to turn your Bible over there to Hebrews 13:2. The Hebrew writer says, this hospitality is so important because when you think about hospitality, think about the Lord, there's important things for you to understand as far as our Christian life is concerned. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain. Your first blank there is entertain strangers. For by doing so, they have unwittingly entertained angels. So he says, think about this. Don't be hesitant to entertain strangers. Don't forget to entertain strangers. Because some people have entertained strangers and not realized that they were actually angels as far as it's concerned. Remember in Genesis 18 how Abraham was sitting there on the tree and three men showed up. And you remember the story well, how that this kind of was such an important aspect of Abraham's life and the things that happened there. Those three men that showed up, Abraham said, stay here, let me feed you, and let me entertain, let me have a meal with you and things of that nature. And he got around there, and they said they would. And he got around and killed a calf, and they prepared some bread, and Sarah was there, and she helped with all the things as far as it's concerned, not knowing that these were angels as far as that's concerned. So that's what he's kind of referred to in this text right here. Some have entertained angels. Now, that doesn't happen today. We're not entertaining angels. But God is saying, sometimes you don't realize that the people you are showing hospitality to very well could be representing the Lord, and the Lord could have sent those people. They could have been people among you that needed help, and it's kind of a test. Hospitality is a test of you know, how are you doing as far as other people are concerned, especially people that are struggling and people that are poor and people having difficult times. And I think about this a lot. Last week, my wife and I were going to Oklahoma City to a doctor's appointment. Had to stop up there at Hinton at the truck stop and things. While we were there, a little old man was walking up the road, on the side of the road. And then while we went into the place, we come back out, and that little guy was sitting out there by a garbage can, and I don't know what he was eating, but he's eating on something. And I looked at him and I thought, what if this is a test? What if that was Jesus? Would Jesus just walk on by this guy? Would he do anything? Would he say anything to him? Would he give him anything? Started to get in the car, and I told Kathy, I said, what food have we got? We had some food we'd bought earlier at McDonald's. I said, give me that food. Went out there, and I gave this guy the food. And he thanked me, and I walked away, and I thought, wow, you know, I wonder how many people in our lives are around us all the time, and we don't even think about it at all. The Lord's saying, there's your test. You walked right by me. You didn't pay attention to me. You didn't help me have the things I needed and things of that nature. Now, don't get ahead of us, because we think about this tonight. God is not saying, take risk and be careful about who you talk to and all that. But at the same time, sometimes we think Christianity is a safety first religion. It's not a safety first. Sometimes we've got to take some risk. Sometimes we've got to kind of reach out. But you can tell the kind of people you're trying to help and you're showing hospitality to as far as that's concerned. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. And there are many verses on hospitality as far as the Bible's concerned. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of manifold grace of God. In Peter here he says, be hospitable to one another. Be hospitable to one another. Now tonight, I want you to just think a little bit. And I know you people are hospitable to each other and others. But tonight, I want you to think about how much more hospitable can we be? How much more hospitable can you be? Think about places you've been and people you've been with that were really, really hospitable. I feel so fortunate because I was raised in the South. Nothing against Oklahoma. Got family from here. One of my uncles is elder here and all these kinds of things as far as it's concerned. But being raised in the South is a whole different culture than out West as far as that's concerned. Wonderful things happen out here. Don't misunderstand me. But at the same time, it's a whole other culture. In the South, people from the South and live in the South, super conscious about manners. Have you noticed how we kind of get to where, you know, and people don't care that much about showing manners and having manners, you know? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you ladies been in a store lately or in a public place and some man just walked out and slammed the door in front of you? Didn't hold the door for you, you know? Doesn't happen in the South. People are very careful. How long since somebody called you yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, and things of that nature? Well, we don't expect that anymore. You know, in the South, they still do it. I've got grandkids that have been raised in the South. They still do it, you know, kind of thing. See? Well, that all goes along with hospitable. You know, when we think about these things, small things are big things to God. God has said, be careful about how you look at other people, how you help other people, how the manners that you show as far as other people are concerned. And share these things. Peter's saying, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. He says, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't gripe because you got to be takes a little more time or you're upset about that and things of that nature. And I'm convinced that most of the time it's not the big things in the Christian's life that's kind of judging us. It's the little things. When somebody, I talked to a couple of men a couple of days ago about how some people have a tendency just to drive the speed limit. You might not be one of those people, but when people drive the speed limit, you'll almost get run over. On Highway 6, you drive the speed limit, you know. On I-40, if you drive the speed limit, well, I drive the speed limit. Don't misunderstand. But I promise you, it's amazing how upset people get because you're driving the speed limit. You know, get off the road. But are you one of those kind of people? Get irritable or grumpy, upset because somebody's a little slower in front of you or being a little more patient, things of that nature. The other thing is, we all usually get the stoplight at the same time, you know. It's not that important. But being hospitable is going, wait a minute, what is the thing here as far as other people are concerned? Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Notice what Jesus says. For whoever gives a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now look what he says. Whoever gives a cup of water in my name. You're a simple thing of giving a cup of water. He says, well, if a cup of water is important, just imagine what a meal would be or helping somebody out with something for a certain. But God is saying, what's in the little things? Do you offer people something to drink when they come to your house? When we're hospitable, We're conscious about it. We think about it. What am I doing to help other people out? Give them, and he says, even a cup of water, given his name, we'll be blessed as a result of that. Why is it so hard? Your next thing's hard. Why is it so hard to be hospitable? It's hard. We've got to think about these things and appreciate these things. Sometimes we're timid. Your next blank there is timid and shy. Some Christians are so timid and so shy, they won't be hospitable. They don't want to ask somebody, can I help you? Do you need something to eat? You need something to drink? Do you need some help with that as far as when we're timid? Timothy was timid. A lot is said by Paul right in 1st, 2nd Timothy because he was so timid. You see, and the Lord says, you gotta overcome. You gotta deal with this thing. Don't be so timid and so shy as far as concerned. Fear, your next blank there is fear, nothing or no one. God does not want us to fear anything or anyone. Every moment spent in fear is a moment without God. So by the opposite of fear is faith. When we have faith, we're gonna go, no, wait a minute. This might not turn out well. Somebody might misunderstand or whatever, but we're going to do it anyway because we're going to show hospitality. And it's a great thing, especially when there's not a whole lot of it around as far as the world's concerned. Selfishness. Another reason people don't show hospitality is because they're selfish. Next blank, selfishness. To a degree. So really, when you think about this, hospitality is helping us overcome our selfishness. It's not about me. You don't have to say that, but I don't want you to think that. It's not about you. It's about others. So many times we're so concerned about us until we kind of forget about everybody else, you see. If you want to overcome your selfishness, there's a couple things you could do. One is show hospitality. It's hard to be selfish and be hospitable at the same time, you see, because you're thinking about other people, what they need, how they need things, and what needs to be done as far as their lives are concerned and what's best for them. Another thing we can do to overcome our selfishness is to give. To give. That's not a blank on your paper, but did you realize the act of worship we do, God has to do every first day of the week, that helps us overcome our selfishness, is to give? God didn't have to have your money. He's got all the silver and all the mines and all the gold and all the mines, all the diamonds, all the mines, all the cattle, he doesn't have to have. He's getting you to do that, and getting us to do that to overcome our selfishness. But do we realize it, you see? So many things we do in worship, we don't realize this is what God's doing, you see? He didn't have to have you to feed the poor. He can take care of all that. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that. But he says, no, I want you to do this because that helps you overcome your selfishness. Now, when we don't do it, whether it's giving or show hospitality, it's actually because we're too selfish. We're thinking about ours and what we want and how we want things to be. And we give excuses. Well, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I don't want to fix a meal for somebody. I don't have company. I want to have people over. Maybe we need to back up and regroup on that. Maybe we need to think about that. If Jesus was coming tonight, would you be too tired to be hospitable as far as he's concerned? He says, think about these things. Sometimes we say, I don't have time. I just don't have time to do this. I mean, I work in a job, and I got a family, and I got friends, I got the blonde morning. And God goes, maybe you're too busy. If you're too busy to show hospitality, you're too busy. If I'm too busy to show hospitality, I'm too busy, you see. And oftentimes we've got our excuses and we go, well, no, this is the reason and God said, okay, I'll take your excuses, but really and truly, on Day of Judgment, those excuses are not going to cut it, you see. Here's what I want you to do. Be a giver. Your next blank there, be a giver. Giver, not a getter. So many times we've been getters. What can we get? We see what that has to do with hospitality. When we're a getter, we don't want to give. We don't want to give our time. We don't want to give our effort. We don't want to clean our house. We don't want to go spend time. Because getters is all about, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? And I kind of have a little theory about getters and givers kind of thing. And I encourage people in this. Now, I teach this, You need to get from getters. Getters need to have to give. Give. And give to givers, you see. Have you noticed how givers don't want you to give them anything? No, don't take. I don't need that, you see. But givers need to learn how to take, and takers need to learn how to give, you see. So I watch for people around me, you see. If they're a taker, I take from them. Well, give me that, If they're a giver, I give to them, you see. Now, oftentimes, as parents and grandparents and people with other people, we're training people to be takers, you see, because they just take, and we give, you see. And others that are givers, The taker often finds a giver. You've been around those takers. They're always taking. well, you need to take from them, you see. But givers need to learn how to take, you see. If you're a giver, you need to learn how to take. Which was Jesus? Was Jesus a giver or a taker? Most people say, well, Jesus was a giver. Well, he was, but he was also a taker. Jesus took a guy's donkey and rode it into Jerusalem one day in the grand entry there, you know, kind of thing. He took a guy's upper room and used that for the Lord's Supper one time, you see. He took people's clothing to give to him. He was always taking things. We think of, well, he gave, but he was balanced in that. So it's not wrong to be a taker, but it's not wrong to be a giver, but learn to take from takers and give to givers, because hospitality helps us to give, especially for takers. Whatever you sow, that will you reap. Your next blank there is reap. Whatever we sow, the Lord says, if you do these things, you'll reap these things. I'll bless you because you do these things. We must sow happiness. Your next blank there is happiness, to reap happiness. Sow happiness to reap happiness. Now, so many times we're unhappy about something, so we sow unhappiness. Just tell everybody how unhappy we are. Well, that's okay if we're unhappy, but sometimes we need to stop that and go, no, wait a minute. I've talked enough about my unhappiness. Now I'm going to sow happiness. You see, the more we sow, that's giving. You see, takers are unhappy and they want everybody else to know how unhappy they are. They're taking, take, let me have your time, have your emotion, your feelings, all this kind of thing. And it's when we go, wait a minute, now I'm all about sowing happiness. What can we do to help other people to have the things they need and happiness for us to turn? We have to be happy to win souls. Next blank, there's win. We have to be happy to win souls. Have you ever had somebody talk to you about a spiritual principle or something in the Bible or about Jesus that was unhappy? You know, how do they talk about those things? You know, most of the time they don't want to talk about it at all. But if they do, it's a downer. They're not showing you how blessed you are and how wonderful it is, how great it is. He's just kind of, well, this is the way it is. Jesus died on the cross for us. Isn't that terrible? Well, it is terrible. But did you realize the worst thing that's ever happened since the beginning of time? As she's down the cross, when man put God on the cross, nothing has ever trumped that. That's the worst thing. Now, what is the best thing that's ever happened since the world began? When he died on the cross for your sins, you see. Of course, he rose again. So out of the bad things come the what? The good things. Psychologists say in America and in the world, the people are the healthiest mentally in our society, are the people that can see the most amount of good in the most amount of bad. Because if you really look at something bad, just like Jesus down the cross, then you go, what is this really happening? The greatest things come out of the worst things. Isn't that amazing? See, well, in hospitality, we're going, no, wait a minute. This is difficult. It does take some time, maybe take some money, some effort, you see. But what can come out of it? Many souls have been won by people saying, no, wait a minute. I ain't got time for my unhappiness now. I'm all about helping other people be happy and have the things they need, helping them overcome. We have to be happy to win souls. That was your last one. I've never seen an unhappy person win a soul. You know what other people are thinking when an unhappy person's teaching them? I don't need that. I got enough unhappiness, you see. But when a happy person is teaching them, they're going, yeah, I could take a dose of that right there. Well, here's the blessings. Here's how wonderful it is. This is what it is to live a Christian life. And so what we're saying is, focus on, you know, what's my mental attitude as far as that's concerned? Number three, if we are going to restore New Testament Christianity, we have to learn to be hospitable like they were. Now, if the church is really going to be the church, if we're really going to restore New Testament Christianity, we're going to have to go back and go, okay, how hospitable were they? What were they like as far as hospitality was concerned? Because that's a huge part of restored New Testament Christianity. But if we restore the acts of worship, if we restore the plan of salvation, and we don't restore things like hospitality, we're probably not going to be anywhere near what the early church was. And God's going to say, no, you're responsible for this. You wouldn't even give a cup of water in my name. This can't be synthetic. Your next work there is synthetic hospitality. Now, you've had synthetic hospitality. That's kind of what you get, or used to get. We don't get that anymore at a restaurant. You remember, some of y'all are, you know, kind of older a little bit. You might remember back whenever you went in a restaurant, the first thing they did, come to your table, sit down, two glass of water. You don't even get water anymore. I mean, it's been a long time. I can't remember the last time I went to a restaurant or a cafe or something and got a glass of water. You got to ask for it if you get it. And sometimes they don't want to give you a cup so you can get a glass of water. It's just amazing how this whole thing, well, synthetic Hospitality's going, wait a minute. It's not just because it's out of duty. This is because I care about these people. I want what's best for these people. What can I do to help them to have the things they need on a daily basis as far as hospitality is concerned? It has to be the real thing. Next blank is real. The real thing. Many of you will remember back in the day. I remember back whenever this other building was over there. I mean, the other building was used for the auditorium and before this was all built and things. I was a kid back there in those days. But back in those days, you took somebody home from church with you that came as a visitor or that just came to be with you and to worship with you. And you didn't just take them home from worship with you. You'd feed them a meal. And we'd get out there and kill the chicken. Any of y'all remember killing the chickens and preparing a meal? Grandma and Grandpa and my mom and dad, they spent all afternoon, about 2 or 3 o'clock, they'd have a meal fixed because we just got it from scratch, you know. That was about hospitality. And it wasn't about the meal. It was about we're spending this time together. Then you go back that evening for the evening of worship, you know. That's what we did. What happened to that? You know, what's going on with that? Well, we got too busy. And that's not such an important thing. And nobody does it anymore. All these kind of things, you know. But when we think about it, we go, wait a minute. What do we do, you know? And if you struggle with winning souls, one of the main things you focus on, don't worry about the winning, go on hospitality. How hospitable can I be with other people? Especially people that are struggling and need your attention and your hospitality, things like that. Seek for good. Your next blank there is good. In everyone and everything. Seek for good. In everyone and everything. We do, y'all might do it too, but we do a pantry. In fact, next Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, we'll have a pantry at Church at Elk City. And people come in from all over. They come from Sarah. They come from over to Eric, and they came from Shamrock, and they came from Clinton. They come from Clinton. They all the area. They come in there, and we feed like, we have like from 60 to 75, 80 families that come in once a month on Tuesday night. And they come at 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock we have a Bible study with these people that come at 5 o'clock. And then they're preparing their food baskets for them while we're having the Bible study. Have a large group of people come have the Bible study. And then the ones that don't want to come to Bible study, they come at 6 o'clock, and then they wait and get their food as far as concerned. But it's amazing. We've been doing this for several years. It's amazing how we're getting acquainted with those people, and those people are getting acquainted with me. It's amazing how often I meet somebody on the street, and they, remember me? I come to the pantry. I know you. I remember you. Yeah. How you doing? And you get acquainted with those people. Well, there's all kinds of things we can do. That's just one little thing. There's lots of things we can do to get acquainted with people and care about people and show the people that we love them and things of that nature. If we're going to restore New Testament Christianity, these are so important things. We naturally find it easier to exclude. Your next blank there is exclude. Those who are different than to include them. It's easy to exclude people that are different. As the Judaizers did in Galatia, they were excluding people, going, wait a minute, these are not really us. These are Gentiles here. We don't really need these people as far as that's concerned. It's easy to exclude people, whether it's their background, their race, their age, and things of that nature. We've all been guilty of that, excluding somebody. So they're going, wait a minute, what can we do to include them in our lives and include them in the church, include them and be part and spend some time with them as far as concerned? Our natural tendency is to exclude. Wait, if we include them, it might cost us something. Well, it will cost you something. See, when we include other people, we're going to spend some time. We'll probably have to spend some money, some effort, some maybe some food or things as far as that's concerned. See? But when we include, now are you the kind of Christian tonight that includes people or excludes people, you see? No, just don't go down that aisle. I know who that person is there. We don't have anything to do with them. Or they may want something from me. Or what's the deal as far as it's concerned? It's easy to exclude. As far as that's concerned. When I was putting this together, I thought about several years ago, had the temptation to do the fair thing. We were in North Carolina. My wife's mother was passing away, and all the family was there, and she was in her bedroom. I was listening to the baby monitor for breathing and things. As far as concerned. And my wife and her sister came up to me. I was in a recliner watching a nature show on television, and all of a sudden my wife was on one side of me, her sister's on the other side. They just patting me on the hands. We need you to do something for us. I thought, oh boy, here it comes. What is it? You'll be, well, Aunt Sue and Uncle Joe are here. They's getting out of the car. I said, okay, invite them in. We're going to invite them in. But we want Aunt Sue, her sister, to visit with Mother in these last, and we don't want Uncle Joe to go in there right now, kind of thing. Because Uncle Joe has a really hard time hearing and all the kind of things happen as far as his life is concerned. And we just kind of need somebody to take care of Uncle Joe. I looked at both of them and I thought, I don't want nothing to do with Uncle Joe. And they said, we really need you to go out there and talk to Uncle Joe. He was coming in on a screened-in back porch back there, and I got up, and they came back there, and they greeted Aunt Sue and took her in, and I greeted Uncle Joe and sitting down out there on the back porch. On the way over there to greet Uncle Joe, I'm thinking, what in the world we have in common? This old man is wore out. He's got arthritis all over. He can't half hear. All this stuff's going on, and I got to entertain Uncle Joe. What have we possibly got in common? And I remembered, Uncle Joe is the best whittler I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable what this guy could do with a pocket knife through the years. I sit down, Uncle Joe, man, am I glad to see you sit right down here. He sit down there. I said, Uncle Joe, we ain't got much time here. And Sue's going to go in there and talk to them and things. But could you possibly, I know this is hard to do and you didn't come prepared for this, but if there's a possible way, you're the best whittler I've ever known in my life. I want you to tell me everything you can in the next 30 minutes about whittling. Well, Rod, it's good to see you too. And I'll tell you what, his old hand's so gnarled, he can't even hold a stick or a pocket knife anymore. But here's what happened. He says, I learned a long time ago, and he started in the whole spiel. I learned more about whittling in that 30, 45 minutes with him than I ever have in my life. And whenever I think about my temptations exclude Uncle Joe. Let's just do Uncle Joe right now. And God has said, no. And right now, you need Uncle Joe and Uncle Joe needs you. You need the poor, they need you. You need the outcast, they need you. You need the other color, they need you. And if we're not careful, just, not today. I don't feel, and God says, yeah, I want you when you don't feel like it. See, real true hospitality is not when you feel good and want to do it, and when it's convenient. Real true hospitality is going, nope, I'll do it today, no matter if it kills me. I'll do the thing that I need to do as far as that's concerned. I wouldn't take anything. Not too long after that, Uncle Joe passed away. I hadn't even seen him since. But that few minutes with Uncle Joe, you see, that's just one person. I've had lots of people in my life like that, you see. Picked up hitchhikers. You would not believe the number of hitchhikers we picked up and baptized and all the things. As far as, but my brother and I was talking about this the other day. Look at all the people, Rod. And I go, wonder where them people are at now. Wonder which ones are still alive now. But we took them in. And we hauled them and we fed them and we sung with them. We spent time with them. We cried with them. We prayed with them, you see. And we baptized them. A lot of times, it's amazing how often you could be traveling through western Oklahoma. We were talking about this just the other day. And you could walk up to a church building, knock on the door, a preacher come to the door, what can I help you with? This guy wants to obey the gospel. Not here. Yeah, here. You got a baptistry? Yeah, well, we ain't got no water in it. Or you can't use it or whatever. I'm going, what's that about? You see? When you teach somebody, well, that's kind of how, that's not just bread, that's preacher. Sometimes we don't know these people. What about, well, they've been taught. They know what to do. It's amazing how we get, but hospitality says, no. What can we do to help them? They're a different age, right age right there. How do you do with people that are different age? How do those of you that are older do with younger people? How do those who are younger do with older people, you see? Practice that, you see? Get with them and get used to it and do the race. Race, the next blanket race. How do you do with other races, you see? Do they got to be a certain race? You got to know what race they are, you see? See, in the church, there's no, God's colorblind. We don't have a race, you see? We're all about income groups. Your next blanket is income. Do they have to be your same income, you see? Could they be richer or poorer or not have a job? What was the deal? As far as that's concerned, many times, profession. What about their profession? Can you show hospitality to anybody with any kind of profession? It doesn't matter what profession they are. Or if they don't have a profession as far as it's concerned. Recreation. Some people only want to show hospitality to golfers. Nothing against golfers. Only to football players. Only to ping pong players. Only people in sports. But can you go, no, wait a minute. I don't do recreation, but I'll, whatever, let's talk about this. Let's share this. Teach me about this. Help me understand, you see. Oftentimes it's easy to exclude those around us. Then we want to, in our last few minutes here, focus on the judgment scene. Now this kind of shoots us ahead, goes, okay, your next blank there is judgment. Matthew 25:45. the judgment scene. On the day of judgment, what's it going to be like? Have you ever wondered or thought about what's it going to be like on the day of judgment? Matthew 25:45. Then he'll answer them and say, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." On the day of judgment, it's not going to be about all the sins you've all committed and everything's all. He's going, here's the thing. On the day of judgment, this is what you're going to be responsible for. What's it going to be like on the day of judgment? He says, if it's going to be this one day, but this is what should be top and first and foremost as far as Rodney Miner's life's concerned. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. You blank there as thirsty. I was hungry and thirsty, you didn't feed me. If you didn't do it for the least of these, you didn't do it for me. I was a stranger. Ooh, look at that. Day of judgment. Strangers. How are you doing with the strangers? You just show hospitality to people you know and know about, and know your reputation, or strangers. Don't know anything about them. I was raised up in a dysfunctional family until I was 16 years old, and bad stuff happened. But one day, I lived in Pensacola, Florida. My father came home from a bar with a little boy, 2 years old. The bartender at the bar gave him this little boy. Dad was playing with the little boy at the bar. I said, "Whose boy is this?" He said, "I don't know. Somebody left him here. You want him?" Bartender gave this boy to my dad. He's been here for months. You can have him. Dad said, "Yeah, I'll take him." He brought that little boy home from the bar. Somebody had literally sharpened his front teeth with a file to where if he bit somebody, he'd take a hunk out of them, kind of thing, to protect himself. Really sad thing. This little boy didn't have no clothes, didn't bring any clothes with him, didn't have anything. Dad just brings this kid home from the bar. Mother began looking for clothes and things to take care of him with and things of that nature. This is a little boy. He needs some help. That kind of, we got a hold of the DHS, the Human Services, and they said, bad mom said, "We want to adopt him. They said, "No, you don't adopt a kid like this." They said, "Well, why not? He doesn't have a family. They don't know nothing about him." They said, but we got people waiting in line for these little boys. And so they turned him over to them, and they did. We got to meet their family, the family that adopted him. But that little boy, his name is Billy, he's stuck in my mind because I think, I wonder whatever happened to him. But what would have happened if Dad just left him at the bar? Would you have just left him at the bar, you know? I don't know what state of mind Dad was in, but he's always bringing people home. Little boys, old people, young people, people just getting out of prison. I was raised with hospitality. You know, people, what can we do to help these people? And yes, sometimes they took advantage of us. Sometimes they stole stuff. Sometimes they ripped us off. One that hadn't killed us. But that's not the point. God is saying, here's the point. On Day of Judgment, how are you with the strangers? Will you take the risk? Naked. Your next blank year is naked. Naked? He said, on Day of Judgment, I want to know, how'd you do with the people that didn't have clothes? Did you provide for them? Help them to have better than they had? Several years ago, a man came to the church building. I was working at the church there in Elk City. And he said, "Sir, could you help me out?" I said, "What do you need?" He said, "I need some clothes. This is all I've got to my name right here." And he was soiled. It was bad. His shoes are wore out and everything. And I said, "Yes, sir, I can help you out. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you down here to the thrift store, and I'm going to get you everything that you want." He said, "That'd be great." They were clothes. I went down there. A couple ladies were there. They said, "Take him in there and get him anything that he wants." I said, "Okay." I stood there in that thrift store. You people can believe this or not. I stood there. That man took off his clothes in the thrift store, walked around and took his shirt off, put a new shirt on, took his pants off, put a new pants on, took his underwear off, put his shoes off. When we came out of there, he had those clothes that he had on and then some more clothes and left his other clothes just around through the thrift store. I thought about this right here. I wonder how many people are walking around. And it's so easy. It's not like they didn't even charge us nothing for it. Just give the guy some clothes. It's so simple to do, you see. But if we're not sensitive to the needs, then we don't care. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. What if I was the one that came to you needing clothes? What would you do? What would you do? The sick. The next blank is sick. How do we show hospitality to the sick? There's all kinds of people with all kinds of ailments and sicknesses, you know. We had a member of our congregation about 3 years ago was in the hospital. Let's see him in the hospital. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm not doing very good." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry." And we talked about it a little bit. He said, "Something occurred to me." He said, "I hadn't had anybody come visit me since I've been here. You're the first person to come see me." And I said, well, what do you think about that? What I think is I need to start going to see people in the hospital. Well, if you want some people to come see you, you need to go see other people, you see. It occurred to him, you know. Why ain't people coming seeing me? I need our church people. Well, I don't go see anybody. Well, that's not the reason we help the sick. But think about it. How often we think, well, I'm feeling bad. People ought to cater to me. Well, are you catering to other people, you see? On that judgment, we're talking about the judgment scene here. How are you as far as the sick people are concerned? Now, it's wonderful. We need to pray for the sick. But I'm not sure praying for the sick cuts it. If we're not willing to do anything for the sick, you see, we need to pray for them, and then we need to serve them, help them to know. At least send them a card and call them and talk to them. Prison. Look at this one. Your next blank there's prison. I was in prison. It didn't come to me. You know? Do we go to the jails? Do we go to the prisons? Do we spend time with people? Do we even care what's happened as far as people are going to prison, you know? A lot of people got a bad attitude to brotherhood about the prisoners. They had some prisoners come be worshiped with us one time. Some of our members come, but we don't want them. Why not? We had prisoners before. We don't want them prisoners. Jesus said, you're going to be responsible for prisoners. Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, into righteous, but the righteous into eternal life. He says, people that don't care about these people, take care of them, they're not going to be going into to heaven, as far as it's concerned. If we had a list of people tonight, of families, to show hospitality to, your next blank there, show hospitality. How many would take one? If we stand back here at the doors tonight and say, these people need hospitality showed to them, how many would take one tonight? That's a good question, you know. Are you the kind of people, yeah, I'll take one, I'll take two. Well, I really don't have time for that. The foundation, your next blank here, foundation for our fellowship is the cross of Christ. There we learn the real meaning, your next blank here is meaning, of love and selfishness. The real meaning of love, your blank here is meaning. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. It's level. Everybody at the foot of the cross is the same as far as God's concerned. Our children learn, your next blank here is learn, how to be hospitable in our homes. You're teaching your children, your grandchildren. This is what it means, you see. This is where I learned it at. I don't know where you learned it at, but our homes are where we teach what it means to be hospitable. Not by words, but by actions. Your next blank here is actions. It's funny that people have a whole house full of kids, that have a whole house full of kids, always have room for one more. Your next blank here is room. Whole house full of kids. Studied with a family last night. The whole kitchen table, all the way around the table. Kids, 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 and their parents. And they've always got room for one more. Anybody that comes, they get them in there and get them involved as far as the study is concerned, that kind of stuff. And in closing, study hospitality. Study it. It's not so hard if we have the right attitude. Next blank here is attitude. We can't be hospitable if we aren't happy. Next blank is happy. Aren't happy. Our hospitality can't be faked. Next blank's faked. Don't exclude people you can't find anything in common with. Common, your next blank there. Hospitality is a command and not just a request. Your next blank there is command. Don't procrastinate. Do it now habit. Have the do it now habit. The sooner you can sow hospitality, the better you'll be. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.